This is a podcast from The Times. Go to thetimes.co.uk. The Rugby World Cup from The Times with Mark Suster.
We'll be with you every week with the latest from the tournament, looking at the prospects for the home nations and the other big guns, of course, and reviewing all the action on and off the field.
Find it at thetimes.co.uk or in iTunes.
The Bugle, audio newspaper for a visual world.
Hello, Buglers. It's producer Chris here. How are you? I hope you're well. Andy and John are away this week. Andy is taking his paddy license to become a scuba diver. And John is off with the American, I think, trying to shoot a bear. You know, I don't actually believe those excuses they've given me. So maybe they're up to something else. Who knows? So they've given me a job. And that job is to deliver something to you that you can listen to now, right now. And it's going to be the first in an occasional mini-series of sub-episodes that we have. We spent hours on this. We have called Leaders Specials. Okay. This one's a biggie. This one is Silvio Il Cavaliere Berlusconi. But before we properly talk about him, I think we need to get some context. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Italy.
Bugle feature section now. And 500 years ago, this year, Michelangelo, or as he was known by his friends, Mickey Paintbrush, was commissioned to do a little bit of decorating for the Pope. He got his nickname, of course, not because of his artistic skills, but because he had tough, bristly, straight hair, which, when he was drunk, he would dip in a vat of paint and headbutt cartoon testicles into the sides of churches. Anyway, the story goes that Julius II asked Mickey Paintbrush, "Can you whack a lick of paint on the ceiling in my chapel? It could do with a bit of sprucing up." "Sure, Papa J," replied Michelangelo. "What do you want? How about a bit of a fresco?" "Sure, why not?" replied the pontiff. "Great," yipped the young artist. "I was thinking of doing something with some dogs playing snooker." Right, Mickey P, said the Pope awkwardly. "It's just, I was just kind of hoping for something a little bit more kind of neutral. Maybe just, you know, just a plain off-white magnolia colour. You know, Mick, something that isn't going to go out of date." "Righto, Skipper," replied Michelangelo, a little downcast. "Hey, do you mind if I do a couple of little bits from the Bible in the corner?" "No, all right," conceded the Pope, "but just nothing too flash, little Mickey." "Yay!" yelped the 33-year-old five-time winner of the Golden Chisel Award for Terrific Sculpture. "I'll go and get my special scaffold." 4 years later, an angry Pope banged on the door of the Sistine Chapel with his big staff. "Have you finished yet, Paintbrush?" he shouted. "Yep, all done, big man." The pontiff stormed in, hat akimbo. "What the f*** have you done to my ceiling, you flash f***?" "Sorry, Pop," said the artist, "I just got a bit carried away." "Oh, balls," winced the Vatican vicar. "Bloody hell, Mickey, what is your obsession with naked cocks?" "Shit, I've got a christening to do in 20 minutes. This is going to have to do." "Okay, boss. Sorry, boss," mumbled the four-in-one painter, sculptor, architect and chicken impersonator. "You haven't heard the last of this, Buonarotti," blasted the Catholic kahuna. "Give me that paintbrush. That's confiscated." Pope Julius turned to go to his dressing room. Just then, something on the ceiling caught his eye. "Hang on. That looks like... no, it can't be. Is that my wang? Mickey Paintbrush, have you painted my papal prong on that nudie man? Come here! Come here, you little... oh, no, he's got away. I knew I should have got Da Vinci to do this. Knew it." So, to commemorate half a millennium since this historic moment in the history of history, we present to you the Bugle Italian section.
Andy, that has to become a regular feature. Historical story time. Misinform your children with Andy Zoltan. First Italian news, and I read a story, Andy, recently that came under the headline "Amnesty on Italian Racism," which I momentarily thought meant that we could all hand in any racism about Italians that we had. And you know, it seemed like a great idea. I've got a lot of very unpleasant names based around types of pasta, which I'd really like to get rid of. Sadly, it looks like I'm going to hang on to them and repress them for a bit longer.
Oh dear, poor little Charlie Concigli.
It was in fact a report from Amnesty International about a troubling climate of discrimination in Italy, including racist language and very reactionary immigration policy. In fact, in Rome, Gianni Alemano, of the Alianza Nazionale was elected mayor on a pledge to expel 20,000 people. Wow. And the people in London thought they'd elected an arsehole. I guess that has been put into a bit of perspective now.
Well, oh, I love Italy, John. It's, you know, it's a country that very much knows how to take lunch. You know, you don't honk it down like a starving lion eating a bag of zebra-flavoured crisps. You take your time. And I love it so much, and it's I'm prepared to overlook the occasional deep and incurable undercurrent of racism and social disaffection. I'm just prepared to let those slide.
Well, you are willing to pay for a meal in every sense. In other Italian news, Naples as a city officially stinks. There are 50,000 tonnes of uncollected rubbish in the Campania region, 5,000 tonnes of it on the city streets. Wherever you go outside the cities, there are enormous piles of rubbish rotting in the sun. And that, Andy, does not read like an enticing tourism commercial. If you're planning a trip to Naples, do go in the summer when the heat is at its highest and the street rubbish seems to morph into a lake of waste.
Well, they've called the army in now, John. The government has called the army in to deal with some of the rubbish crisis. And, you know, without wanting to make any old and hackneyed Italian army jokes, this has to be their big chance. Just get a win under the belt. Silence the critics. Beat those bags of rubbish. You can do it. It's all about confidence. Interesting with the waste problem in Naples, though, John, which does go back a long way, back to 1994. It's been in a state of waste disposal emergency, apparently, although I guess we couldn't really have expected much better from that region of Italy. It's taken them nearly 2,000 years to clean up Pompeii after Vesuvius blew its top, and that place is still an absolute mess. But interestingly, there's mafia involvement in rubbish collection, which suggests, I think, it's quite a positive move that the mafia are weaning themselves off large-scale organised crime and onto bins.
In other Italian news, the Leaning Tower of Pisa has stopped moving for the first time in its 800-year history. A $40 million project has been completed, which should stabilise the tower for at least 200 years. And by that point, humanity will probably have cannibalised itself anyway, so Leaning Towers won't really be a key problem anymore. This success was sealed by the news that the Leaning Tower of Pisa had now lost its title as world's wonkiest building to a small church in Germany. And first off, Andy, I did not realise that was a title.
It is.
And secondly, did they factor in the house that I built when I was three with cardboard boxes and sticky tape, which I proceeded to live in for an entire afternoon? Because all of a family photograph seemed to suggest that that was very wonky indeed.
It's 48 centimetres less wonky than it was, that Leaning Tower, which is great. An interesting fact about it, John, in 1934, Benito Mussolini ordered that the tower should be returned to a vertical position. So, upon his instructions, concrete was poured into the building's foundation. However, the result was that the tower actually sank further into the soil. Now, I think this can only be seen, really, as a metaphor for the history of Mussolini's Italy. And Benito thus became the first political leader in history to be heckled and satirised by a piece of 12th century architecture. Interestingly, with the Leaning Tower of Pisa, if you play Whitesnake's Here I Go Again at the right volume, the tower does actually do a bit of a boogie. It wiggles its third and fourth tiers. It's barely perceptible. It's only about a 1 centimetre wiggle. But it just can't help it. It's like one of those dancing cans of Coke you used to get in the 1980s.
I tell you, Andy, I defy any object to not rock out to that.
Yeah.
Going down the only road I've ever known.
Now you've got that, let's get on with Silvio.
Well, my favourite somersault this week came from Silvio Berlusconi, Andy, Prime Minister of Italy and career criminal.
Never lets you down.
Who described Obama after his victory as young, handsome and even tanned. Oh, Silvio. Whether that was an opinion or a joke, either of them would be from the 1950s.
Well, you can always rely on Berlusconi to come up with the goods. I mean, that's what you want in Italian politics, John. I mean, you can't make jokes about the lira anymore, and we all miss them. And they don't change government quite as often as they used to, and it has been a while since their tanks only had a reverse gear. But Berlusconi will always be there for us, John. He will always say something genuinely appalling, but at the same time, quite funny. He said some amazing things over the years. He suggested that the Chinese used to boil babies under Mao. This caused a bit of a rumpus with the Chinese. Mm-hmm. And then Berlusconi clarified his comments by saying that they didn't eat them, they just boiled them in order to use them to fertilise the fields. Also, he told a German member of the European Parliament that he'd be perfect for a film role as a Nazi camp guard. Also described himself as the Jesus Christ of politics. I'm a patient victim. I put up with everyone. I sacrifice myself for everyone. And he also said, if he was talking about why companies should invest in Italy, he said another reason to invest in Italy is that we have beautiful secretaries.
Oh, God. He's the worst human being in the world.
Yeah, but he's great value for the neutral spectator.
There have been some admirable and unusual protests from members of 51% of the world's population this week. The wife of Silvio Berlusconi. Poor woman, Andy.
Well, John, poor woman, yes, but not only is she his wife, but she's still his wife. So
that's true.
You can kind of understand her marrying him by mistake, but she stayed married to him.
Silvio Berlusconi, Italian Prime Minister and spectacular crook, has... Is that staying in? That is legally rock solid. It's a fact. That is a legal fact.
It is a fact. He is shaped like a shepherd's crook.
That's right. His wife has criticised he and his party's plan to field attractive young women as European election candidates.
Veronica Lario.
No, it is not. Veronica Lario said the plan amounted to shameless rubbish being put on for the entertainment of the emperor. She's right, Andy. He's corrupt enough and arrogant enough only to be a head wreath and a toga away from calling himself Caesar.
That's right, John. This is a woman who is clearly fully aware of her husband's opinion of himself. And apparently I've heard that he does actually wear a toga in cabinet meetings. And whenever a cabinet member says something he disagrees with, he just growls at them like a lion and says, grr, grr, do you want to discuss this here or at the Colosseum?
She went on to say, behind the facade of curvaceous feminine beauty, what's even more serious is his impudence and lack of reserve, saying it offends the credibility of all women. Berlusconi later hit back, telling reporters that he was sorry his wife had apparently believed what she read in the papers, before going on to say, sorry I feel that way, toots, and slapping her on the arse.
Now, of course, the rest of the world might think that Berlusconi is a bigot, a sexist, and a man of quite indefatigable crassness. Well, the Italians clearly agree, and that's why they keep voting for him.
Yeah,
they love an entertainer.
Candidates standing for this party, he said, would be unlike the malodorous and badly dressed people who represent certain parties in Parliament. What is wrong with this man? Malodorous? My party will smell better than my opponents. You are focusing on the wrong areas, you career criminal. Fact! Legal fact!
I'm not sure that being malodorous and badly dressed is a bad thing in a politician. To me, John, that shows that a politician is working so hard that he's prepared to forego basic personal hygiene in order to put the final touches of that crucial bit of legislation about where you can and can't kill swans, or making sure that the arms we're selling overseas don't go straight into the hands of crackpot dictators, but at least have to pass through intermediaries to assuage our national guilt. I want that level of commitment, John, and I feel Gordon Brown looks like he is making it at this moment. And I bet Churchill never washed.
I don't know how Berlusconi's wife puts up with an Andy, other than having the right and the opportunity to slap him in the face every day. In fact, that is quite some perk. If I was married to him, I would do that every single day. In fact, Mr. Berlusconi, I know this is sudden, but would you do me the great honour of being my wife?
Let's not forget also, this is a man who, when speaking to the New York Stock Exchange, said, Italy is now a great country to invest in. Today we have fewer communists, and those who are still there deny having been one. And another reason to invest in Italy is that we have superb girls.
Oh, no. He's a natural entertainer, but he's an arse.
Different time, different place. Upside down from a meat hook.
Other awkward relationship news now. And Andy, never mind Nick Clegg and David Cameron being thrust together. Bugle favourite Silvio Berlusconi has, well, I mean, he's been quiet by his standards recently, Andy. Not getting hit in the face with any more miniature cathedrals, nor sleeping with any more teenage models who he momentarily and repeatedly mistook for his wife. Perhaps it was little snafus like that that have caused him getting divorced. Now, Berlusconi's wealth was estimated by Forbes at $6.5 billion in March, putting him at number 70 in the rankings of the world's billionaires. Pretty good. His taxable earnings in 2007, taxable earnings.
This is hypothetical, of course.
That's right. Total €14.5 million, still actually a huge drop on the €139 million he declared in 2006. But, you know, that is also just what he declared, because, as I think we both know deep down, all of us know, you have to understand that paying tax for Berlusconi is like bungee jumping. He can understand in theory why people do it. It's just not something he can ever see himself personally being interested in trying. But it actually looks like Silvio is going to be able to sidestep the biggest divorce settlement in history, the potential biggest settlement, just like he's sidestepped Italian justice for the last 20 years. After a five-hour court hearing over last weekend with his understandably furious wife, Veronica Lario revised her demands for maintenance of £43 million a year to just £3.6 million. And first, that's a big request. Straight off the bat, 43 million in yearly maintenance. What the f*** is she, an international space station? I'm not saying she doesn't deserve it. No, she, let's remember, all of us, was married to Silvio Berlusconi, which may be judged by history to be one of the most incredible acts of human endurance of all time.
But, to be fair, self-inflicted.
Yes.
Largely.
Yes. How did he negotiate this down? Well, that's a good question. First, she's allowed to keep their £67 million villa near Milan, but it can't just be that, Andy. Perhaps she's negotiated being allowed to kick him in the balls once a year. And that would probably be worth it. She's already incredibly rich now. You know, she's comfortable. Now, what she's adding now to her over £3.5 million income a year is quality of life. Because she could look forward to that, like Christmas and birthdays. Have a little countdown advent calendar on your fridge. Only 16 days now until I can kick Silvio in the balls. Oh, what's behind this door? Oh, look, it's a cartoon of Silvio buckled over wincing in pain. That's a good one. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Do you think she'd do it at Christmas? Or do you think she'd maybe space
no,
it out?
Space it out. Definitely space it out. Yeah. Definitely space it out.
Yeah. But do you think she'd have a special boot made for it with?
Oh no, question.
Maybe a series of boots with great churches of Italy on.
Right on the toe. That's a great idea, and I think a new one each year. Again, yeah. Remember, £3.6 million a year. Right. That's a huge settlement, so she can easily afford a brand new pointy shoe with
the Duomo in Florence on.
Duomo.
Yep, I think that's right, that's what he calls his member.
And then they. And then it's more likely he does than he doesn't. And then you could then have that shoe in like encased for the rest of the year. Yeah. Just line them up over the years. Yeah. Oh, God, I remember.
They shift on eBay, wouldn't they?
I remember 2014. I got some real backlift on that. That's when I realised it's the follow through that really gets to him.
£250,000 a month she's in line for.
Pretty good.
Our Prime Minister only gets £200,000 a year, John. But I think being married to Berlusconi,
yes.
I mean, it's a much tougher job.
That's what you've got to understand.
It is a 15 times worse job.
Yes, definitely.
Let's put that in context as well. 250,000. Do you know why that figure was chosen?
Why?
Because that is what, in today's money, Germany was paying after World War I as reparations under the Treaty of Versailles. And look how that turned out. I mean, it's not, but the point stands. I can't imagine what it's like being married to Silvio Berlusconi. Well, I can, in fact, and I have, which is why I'm increasingly reticent in social situations.
Berlusconi news. Silvio Berlusconi is a total penis restorer. It's now official. And thanks for all of those who, many of you brought this our attention to this story via Twitter and the emails. The Italian Prime Minister and galaxy-renowned tool has concocted yet more controversy out of thin air by using taxpayers' money to replace a missing penis on an ancient Roman statue. The statue, which featured famously hot Roman goddess and sexbot Venus and war god and pin-up hunk Mars, received a $100,000 sum of public money for its restoration, giving Mars a new thraggle rod and Venus a new hand to stroke it with.
apparently, the prevailing attitude amongst fans and scholars of Wangless classical sculpture is not to replace an absent slap dangle or even a pair of missing curtly scrannocks. But Berlusconi, who had moved the statues from a museum into his own pad just so he could spend more time looking at it and pretending he'd invited Venus to one of his infamous pool parties, stumped up the Italian public's cash so he could look at a fully scrunchulated groin marble complete with authentic-looking clob.
It's not just a replacement penis, Andy. Yeah. It's a detachable magnetic penis. So that's where the $100,000 of public money has gone. It's a real conversation piece. Right. There's no way that that is not going to be helpful during international negotiations for Italy.
Right.
Why does Point it... is, Silvio Berlusconi.
Why does it need to be detachable? Is it so he can just take it around on any wangless statue?
Because that's what makes it impressive.
Oh, I see, right.
You show them the statue and you say, look, Ambassador, this is 1,800 years old. What a magnificent example of a Roman craftsmanship. And then you can grab the penis and say, what's this? And pull it off. Right. And as I hear, you hand it to the ambassador and say, do you want to put it back on? If you do, I'm going to need you to drop your trade embargo. And I'm telling you, that trade embargo would be history, because there's not a person alive that does not want to attach, and detach a very old statue's penis.
It's got a USB port in as well. This is pretty good. But what Roman statues, of course, are often one wang short of the full caboodle. The reason being that the most popular prank of the early to mid-second millennium was to give a buddy who had asked for a hot dog a bread roll with a marble pineas instead of a sausage. It was undoubtedly funny, but it did cost many ancient statues their virilitizers. And I guess the question remains, John, the very important question remains, looking at this detachable magnetic penis, is whose wang is it modelled on? Is this Silvio Berlusconi's dick I see before me?
It has to be. Well, he's definitely that narcissistic.
It is hard to imagine a man
There's no question.
It is hard to imagine a man like him would have ordered a new prongler for a statue and not paid the extra $50,000 to have it modelled on his own prongler.
Yes.
So the people...
Yes.
The people of Italy have basically paid $100,000 to have someone carve a coxcock out of a bit of marble. But not just the people of Italy, John. Not just the people of Italy, the people of Britain via the EU. This is my money that is paid for Silvio Berlusconi to put a marble cast of his own todger on an old statue, and my local council still hasn't filled in last winter's potholes on my road. Is that fair?
That is just the height of leadership arrogance, and I'm sure it's something that he has, to look at any ancient statue and say, wow, I mean, it looks great. But it would look even better with my penis on it.
I guess we will have confirmation whether or not it is Berlusconi's penis if the 1800-year-old statue starts trying to stick its new detachable magnetic Eugene into a much younger statue. Then I guess we will have our suspicions confirmed.
Berlusconi's architect apparently said there are two philosophies of restoration. One is just to clean the work and leave it as it is. The other involves making the work whole again, without damaging it, to provide an image of the work as it was originally conceived. Well, that sounds great in theory, Andy. I just don't know exactly where a detachable magnetic penis fits into that philosophy.
Next week, Berlusconi attaches detachable magnetic massive tits to the Venus de Milo.
Silvio Berlusconi news now, and, well, he's being charged. Since we last did a bugle, he's been officially charged with being very, very naughty indeed. But this is the latest in his spectacular 17 years in and out of power. Allegations of wild sex parties, prostitution, bribery, tax evasion, corruption, and much, much more. And yet, the polls show that his public approval rating is still high, and if an election were to be held tomorrow, he would win it.
Amazing.
What do these people want, John?
Amazing.
The thing is, prostitution, he's been accused of paying for sex with a 17-year-old Moroccan exotic dancer. He's called the charges groundless. And the thing is, prostitution is not illegal
in Italy, and the age of consent is 14, but a prostitute must be 18 or older. So in Berlusconi's defence, he might be a 75-year-old man banging a 17-year-old, but legally it's just a technicality. Leave the man alone, let him live his own life. And also, he's been accused of abusing his office. The alleged prostitute was arrested for an unrelated theft, and charges were filed against Berlusconi because he used his political position to secure her release. Now, he claims, the excuse for this is that he believes the girl was related to Hosni Mubarak. He was simply attempting to avoid an international diplomatic incident. Yep. I mean, that, John, that is the obvious excuse. I know, you know, whenever I get in trouble, that is my first port of call. When I was caught shoplifting a cream bun from a baker in Addis Ababa back in 1992, my first reaction was to say, it's for Hosni Mubarak, this cream bun. He loves cream buns. I know Lee Harvey Oswald. His initial defence was, I thought JFK was Hosni Mubarak, and I was trying to shoot a mosquito off his shoulder. Bernie Madoff says, I thought maybe if I made loads of money, I could help Hosni Mubarak build a pyramid for himself. You know, we've all got our Hosni Mubarak excuses, John, and it just shows that Berlusconi is human. These are Berlusconi's excuses, amongst many, but like shoppers milling around a clothes store on the first day of a new All Our Clothes Are Made of Fish Skin promotion in the middle of summer, people simply aren't buying it. Boom!
That is a solid joke all the way from Bangalore, India, Andy.
I'm sure it is. That might be the most contrived simile in the history of Bangalore.
There you go. That was Andy and John talking about Bugle legend Silvio Berlusconi. Just think, whilst you were listening to that show, he was probably having sex. That's an amazing fact. And there'll be some more old shit next week. Bye.